from the Subaru of Gwinnett Studio at the Gas South Convention Center in Duluth, Georgia, welcome to Celebrating Powerhouse Women, proudly presented by NEMA and Sourced.
And hello, crew. It is Amanda Pierce here with you today on Celebrating Powerhouse Women. I am very excited. As you know, this is the series that salutes and recognizes women leaders making an impact, not only in our community, but all over the place. Today, I'm lucky to be joined by a local sensation, Jennifer DeLoach. She is the founding manager and attorney at DeLoach Law Practice. Welcome, Jennifer.
Hi, Amanda.
Excited to have you here today.
I'm excited to be here. Thank you.
Our guests have no idea how much fun we were having before the show, but we're all smiles. We got lots of vibrant colors in here. Dan the Man is on the production side, and we're going to dive right in. Recently featured on Chasing Excellence and a partner of Business Radio X in the past, for those who haven't heard your story, I'd love for you to share depth and breadth of your practice and kind of how it came about.
Absolutely. My practice started 2 years ago. I was opening my doors on April Fool's Day in 2022 and just celebrated 2 years in business. We focus primarily on family law. So all major life changes, everything from adoptions to divorces to child custody issues, child support. We also do estate planning, which I love doing because there you've got no opposing counsel. There's no fight. You're just helping people meet their goals. And I guide people through probate as well, if they've got a loved one who's died with or without a will, helping them navigate that life change. And very excited to announce that I'm opening a new trademark practice as well.
And now elaborate on that. Is that where people who want to trademark something, they come and see you?
Absolutely. Working with trademarks, words, logos, design marks. So primarily working with entrepreneurs and companies that already exist, maybe already in the market, or if they're thinking about taking something to market, helping to make sure that they're legally protected. Hmm. And also that they're not infringing on anybody else's rights, without knowing it.
Just because I'm curious, and I already warned you about my ADHD, you see, like, in the corner of the Business Radio X, we have the R for registered, and I've seen it in the corner for the trademarked. What's the difference?
So the R is the only one that really has any legal oomph to it. Trademark or service mark doesn't mean anything without that R in a circle. That means that you are officially registered with the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, and that's when you start to have the ability to really enforce that mark. TM just means that you're using it with the intention of registering it one day.
Okay. But that doesn't take it out of, like, the ring. Somebody else could essentially snake it?
They could try to snake it, and they could try to get there before you do. And then you're fighting over who had it in use first and who had the most notoriety and recognition first. But I always say the best lawsuit is the one that you can avoid. Amen. Because even if you win, you still spend a lot of time and money winning.
And money, yeah.
So it's and the mental cost of it all. So my primary, whether it's trademark, whether it's probate, whether it's family law, my primary focus is always how do I help my clients avoid being sued in the first place? Worry about winning later. Let's try to not get sued in the first place.
Prevention first.
Exactly.
Just would you be going into the registered side thereafter? Because you said you're starting the trademark practice. Is the registered side something you can also complete?
It is. So we would start by talking to somebody about the mark that they'd like to register, whether it's a design mark or just the name of their company or a slogan, doing a search to see who else is using it, hopefully nobody, in the same way, and if it looks clear, to help them get that registration.
Cool. Well, I might have to pick your brain about that more after air.
I hope
more
you do.
After we're off the air. But you said it's going to be soon. So when can we be looking out for that?
I would say in the next couple of weeks.
Couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. All right. Coming soon. Thank you, Jennifer. So let's rewind. Hop in our DeLorean. Let's see, get in. Watch your head there. Lowering the doors. And let's just fire on back to where you grew up. Tell our listeners about your background.
I grew up in Lawrenceville. I was born in Valdosta, but I grew up in Lawrenceville. My parents still live in the same house they bought in, I think it was 1980, 81, in Forest Hills. And I graduated from Central Gwinnett High School in 97. Mm-hmm. Ended up going back and teaching there for a year later on. But grew up right there, went to Berry College undergrad, UGA Law School. And my whole life, I had grown up with sort of a romanticized version of the West Coast. And I always wanted to live in a bigger city. Mm-hmm. So for those of us who were here in Gwinnett County back in the 80s and 90s, it wasn't quite the thriving place that it is right now. It was more rural, not a lot going on. And so I always wanted to go to a bigger, more exciting place. And so for me, that place became Los Angeles, where I lived for 6 years. Wow. And that's where I began my legal career. Moved back to Georgia in 2011. I had been back to visit many times, see my parents and everything. And I wondered what the heck they had done to Lawrenceville, because all of a sudden it was cool. And I liked being here. There was stuff to do, younger people all over the place, diversity all over the place. And I really liked it. So when I came back to Georgia, I knew I wasn't going to leave. I knew this is where I wanted to live. This is where I wanted to start a business and build the rest of my life.
So you planted your roots right here in Gwinnett.
Right where they started.
And now here you are. So talk about, you were talking about your school and you kind of skimmed over that. So you went to school for 6 years in Los Angeles, you said?
Oh, no, I practiced law for 6 years. So I went to school at Berry College in Rome, Georgia, and then I went to law school at UGA.
Okay. And so when you practice law in a different state, how does that translate to coming back to Georgia?
It turns out not that well. So every state has its own bar exam. And some states have reciprocity where they'll recognize that you passed the bar somewhere else and let you practice there. But Georgia and California didn't have that. And when I left California in 2011, I wasn't entirely sure that I wanted to keep practicing law. I had been in business litigation and had a really wonderful mentor, but it just wasn't for me. And that's the easiest way I know how to say it. I sure as heck didn't feel like taking another bar exam and couldn't really afford to not work for 2 or 3 months and study for a test. So I decided to go back to plan A, which had been to become a teacher. I had thought about becoming a college professor until some college professor friends of mine and mentors of mine talked me out of it, which is how I ended up in law school. And I had majored in history and English, and so I decided to go get a master's in teaching and work at Berry College, where I had graduated with undergrad for a few years, had a great time there, and went into public school teaching. So I had a little gap in my legal career where I practiced for 6 years, went to school to become a teacher and became a teacher and did that for about 5 years and taught middle and high school in Fulton and Gwinnett counties and then decided to go back to law.
Cut, tail, and run.
I used a summer vacation 1 year to study for the bar exam in Georgia and just get that done. So I passed the bar in Georgia and started practicing soon thereafter.
What would you say is one of the most rewarding things about what you do for a living?
When clients check in later. I'll get emails or cards from people, pictures of them with the kids they've been reunited with or that they've helped save from a bad situation, telling me how I played a role in that. Mm-hmm. And so for me, that's something that's available in family law that just wasn't there in business law. Not to lock business lawyers. They're great. They're brilliant. Some of the best attorneys I know. But you don't get a card from a company for Christmas telling you that you put your family back together. Mm. And so that's a really rewarding thing. And I tell all my divorce clients, too, because they don't call me on their best day, right? Whether they wanted the divorce or their spouse did or they both did, nobody's happy to be there. And so I usually start off with them in a really tough place in their life. And I will tell you to a person, when I run into them a year later at the grocery store or downtown, they stop me and they say, I want you to know I'm doing so much better. Oh. And those moments are great because nobody is doing worse a year after a bad situation ends.
I bet that's a rewarding feeling. It makes you, it's kind of full circle. You know?
It is. You see a difference that you're making in real lives with real people.
So. I have to ask you selfishly, and also congratulations as you're fairly newlywed, correct?
Thank you. Yes. Yes.
Being that your spouse is also in the world of divorce
lawyer.
And so are you. One might say you guys have a leg up on experiencing challenges of all varieties and magnitudes. So would you say that that strengthened your arsenal of knowledge to go into your marriage? Or would you say that you guys are, like, how would you say that, if at all, that has impacted you in your relationship?
I think it absolutely has been a positive. And I always feel weird giving people any marriage tips. I've been doing it for 6 whole months, but my wife tells me I'm doing a great job. So, and she is too, but we do, we have that experience of guiding people through marriages that are breaking down and we get the benefit of them telling us, this is what I wish I had done. Mm-hmm. This is what I wish he or she had done. Here's some, they don't even realize they're giving me advice, but they kind of are along the way. about noticing little things. You know, 6 months and everything's still pretty easy. Yeah. And hopefully will remain so, but we know better than that because we see it. But yeah, it does give us a leg up on what to value and what to talk about before it becomes a problem and that kind of thing. So I feel blessed by that.
Good for you. And I'm curious, are you able to share one or two of those things that you've heard from people in case somebody out there is listening and they'd like to know?
Yeah. Don't stop paying attention. The day you start taking the other person for granted is a bad day. Mm. Notice that they're still doing things to help you out. Thank them for doing the dishes. Thank them for running that errand for you. The very little stuff that it's easy to just stop doing, keep doing it. Mm-hmm. And that's something that stuck with me for sure. And then the officiant at our marriage, who is also married to one of our good friends, who's another divorce lawyer. Our wedding was the divorce event of the season. But
it was a wedding ceremony.
Right. And theirs is a marriage that I really want to emulate. They've been married for a very long time, and they're both attorneys too. And he talked about the importance of make sure you keep looking, make sure you keep seeing and noticing. Mm. And so that sticks with me.
Great advice. Thank you, Jennifer. Well, that brings me to my next question, and I like to do kind of a word association game,
okay.
If you'll indulge me. So you just tell me what you think, what this word means to you, okay? And you were just talking about it with your spouse, and I'd like to say the first word is gratitude.
Blessed. Yeah.
Humility.
Peace.
Diversity.
Fun.
Mentorship.
Mom.
Oh, okay. Now let's dive into those. When I said mentorship, you said mom. Is that because your mother is a personal mentor to you?
Because she gives really good advice. She has a very no-nonsense outlook on things. My dad's the same way. Now I feel like I need to say dad too and talk about that because he's probably given me more life advice from anybody that I apply. But she's always been good at helping me keep perspective. On the worst days, we all go through them. We all have rain. But she's always been the one to help me remember to keep things in perspective, that nothing is ever as good or as bad as it seems in the moment.
Hmm. Speaking of mentorship, you mentioned having a lot of people that were influential in your world throughout building your career and your education. Thinking about the future, and you strike me as someone who is a forward thinker, talk about the importance of preparing the next generation and reaching back and also providing mentorship for those as we were mentored and probably still are.
I am so glad you asked that because right now, about 3 weeks ago, I had an intern start at my office. And he is a brilliant young man that I taught when he was a high school student at Central. And he's just graduated from GSU with honors. His name is Fareed. He's terrific. If you're working with me right now on your estate planning, you're probably going to encounter him at some point. But it's been great that after he graduated from college, he reached out to see what I was doing and to see if he could come learn from me and spend some time in the office. I'm helping him as far as studying for the LSAT and just how to get ready to apply for law schools. And it's a tremendous, that's humbling too, mm-hmm. that somebody trusts you to kind of help them get started in life and that he remembered me well enough to look me up later on. So I always joke when I was teaching, especially high school students, they all want to friend you on social media. Mm-hmm. I'm like, look, graduate college.
And then find me.
Then find me. And if you still care, okay. You
know? And also find us on LinkedIn too.
Exactly. Find me on the professional networks because I'm no fun on social. I don't do much. So getting to do that is great because I do miss the classroom aspect of it all. I really do. And recently got involved with the board of Because One Matters. So I look for opportunities to help the next generation. I'm not a parent myself. We are child-free by choice, but I love being around kids and I love pouring into them and then sending them back to their parents.
Right.
That's what I like to do. So
if you, taking that example, and I tip my hat to you because that is remarkable that he was your student and you left a lasting impression and he sought to look you up afterwards.
And he left one on me too. I was so happy to hear from him. So
what do you envision as far as that partnership? You said that you're kind of helping him through his schooling and then he will take the bar exam and he will become an attorney. And maybe if there's...
Yeah, we got to get him through law school first. So the idea is first he'll need to go to law school and then he he's so young. I didn't know what I wanted to do, but he seems to have a clear direction that he wants to do personal injury or something. And I don't do that, but there's certain truths about being a lawyer and being a good ethical attorney and an advocate mm-hmm. that are going to translate no matter what kind of law you do. So hopefully it'll be useful for him.
Ethics is something that's really big in your world. And I don't mean to keep this whole conversation about ethics, but I'm kind of winding it. Talk about how you apply that in your personal life, how you hold the pillars, your core values, how they translate from your personal and your professional. I'm sure they kind of weave into each other because you are the founder of your own practice.
Absolutely. And to me, it's so important that people have a good experience. We don't always get the result you want because that's life. You know, courts are courts. But we sure try. And for me, I want to always treat my clients the way that I would expect a lawyer to treat me if I was ever the client, which is open communication, transparency in pricing, making sure that that relationship is sacred. Mm-hmm. Ethics are incredibly important to me because I'm as aware of the next person of the stereotypes about lawyers out there. And I will say being a lawyer, being married to a lawyer with a lot of lawyer friends, the lawyers I know are fantastic people. And primarily we're just very ethical and open people. That there's exceptions. But most of us strive to really uphold the oath that we took mm-hmm. to be ethical, professional members of the bar. And so I try to make sure that's true in everything I do. I don't mislead people. I consider it my responsibility to give my clients not only the good news, but also to break to them what might not go their way. That's part of the job.
Mm. I sure do appreciate a straight shooter, so I'm sure everybody else does too.
Absolutely, I do.
Hey, Jennifer, we are going to have a word from our partners, and when we return, we're going to talk about something else.
NEMA is a full-service logistics company that provides trucking, warehousing, and expedited deliveries for the paper machine clothing industry. They offer a full line of services, including delivery within the 48 contiguous states, Canada, and Mexico, plus importing and exporting, air freight forwarding services, foreign trade zone warehousing, and many more services to handle your global logistics needs. NEMA is a proud sponsor of the Celebrating Powerhouse Women podcast series.
We know running a business is hard. There are so many things that need to get done, and you don't have the time, the resources, the experience, or you just don't want to do it yourself. At Sourced, we have your back. Office. We support leaders of companies with all their back office challenges that weigh them down, whether it's accounting, talent acquisition, administrative support, marketing, or human resources. Our team of experts at Sourced will make your life easy and your back office effortless. To see how we can help you, check us out at getsourced.com.
All right, and welcome back. Amanda here with Jennifer Deloach, who is the founding and managing attorney of Deloach Law Practice. But while we're saying all these awesome things that she is, let me just chime and say that she is also the president of the Sugar Hill chapter of BNI. And what does BNI actually stand for, Jennifer?
That is a great question.
Business Networking.
International.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that's it.
Any BNIers out there that have a different answer, we'd love to hear from you. Also, she mentioned that she is on the board of Because One Matters. And if you guys are here in Gwinnett and you're unfamiliar with that organization, please give it a Google. Andrea and her team do a fantastic job of serving this community tirelessly. And that is Because One Matters. In addition, she is a part of the Georgia Association for Women of Lawyers and the Stonewall Bar. Just wanted to give you those little shout outs.
Thank you.
So I'm going to take it to a funny tip here, and I have a very important question for you, Jennifer.
Okay.
And this is going to tell me a lot about you.
Uh-oh.
Let's say we're having a Mexican lunch together. We're at Pepe's. That's my favorite place
right
here.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
All right. So the server brings chips. We love it. And we got guacamole, sour cream, and who has sour cream?
Which is chips.
Queso. Queso. Guacamole and salsa is on the table. What are you dipping your chip in first?
The queso.
The queso first.
Without hesitation.
Me too.
Without hesitation.
And do you dunk in the salsa after?
I do.
Me too. But you can't do that if we're sharing.
Well, I can ask you first and if you're cool with it.
Only if you leave floaters, then we have a problem. If there's any cheese left behind in the salsa, there's an issue.
It becomes an issue, right?
I love that. Okay. I see some people say guacamole and I'm like, who doesn't go for the queso first?
I like guacamole too, but the queso has my heart.
When you have all
especially
three.
Fundido.
Ooh, Fundido.
Yeah.
So if you ever make it to Pepe's, get the Pepe's queso.
Okay.
Do you eat meat?
I do.
Okay. These days, not many do. Yeah. It's got shrimp, steak, and chicken in it. Uh-huh. It's just so good. It's a whole meal in itself. All right. Thanks for indulging me.
Absolutely.
Talking about what you do to kind of, you know, release after all of the things that you have to hold in for your career, what do you enjoy doing as far as, you know, exercise or exercising your mind? You mentioned having two large dogs.
Yes.
And I bet they enjoy going for walks.
They do. Well, one of them does. The other is lazy. So I have two dogs, Blossom and Dutch. Blossom is a Doberman and she loves walks. And you can't exhaust that dog. There's no stop to her. Mm-hmm. Dutch is an avid indoorsman. He doesn't really like being outside that much, but he'll go when he needs to and he'll suffer through it. He's a pit bull mix and he's a hoot.
So what do you do to kind of find your center or your calm, if anything? I enjoy Orange Theory Fitness and that kind of brings me back to my place and it takes all of the work jumble out of my mind. How do you kind of?
So I used to be an avid runner, working through some injuries now, but trying to make up for that with walking. A lot of walking, being outside clears my mind, listening to a lot of audiobooks, obsessively listening to the new Taylor Swift double album starting today, and also just kind of quiet. Sitting there with the dogs is great. I love jigsaw puzzles because I don't really have to use my brain that much, but it kind of keeps it occupied. Mm-hmm. And that's a great way to decompress at the end of the day. We're big board game people.
Mm-hmm. So what's your favorite game?
Right now it's Catan.
Ooh.
But it kind of changes. Uh-huh. But we've been really into that one lately. Final Girl 2 is a really good new one.
Never played that.
If you're a horror movie fan.
Okay, so are you talking about video games?
No, those are both board games.
Okay, cool. Yeah, yeah. I'm a board game person.
So Final Girl, like if you do horror movies, mm-hmm. then this might be for you because it's based on a lot of those where you're trying to survive the villain.
Okay.
So that one's really fun. We do like video games sometimes. Caitlin's way more into it than me, but I enjoy them. Mm-hmm. I do.
I can't, the video games, my hand-eye coordination isn't there. No. I very much enjoy the traditional. I like backgammon, Scrabble, Jenga. Mm-hmm. Even Trouble, Spades,
Tetris.
Rummy.
Yeah, exactly.
Anything like that. Kind of taking it to a more serious side, and this is an absolutely selfish question.
Okay.
You mentioned that you got married later in life and you disclosed your age.
Yeah.
So my usual question is, what would you tell your 40-year-old self? But you're not far from 40.
I'm not. I'm 45.
So we're gonna rewind that just a bit.
I'm not one of those who cares to say. I mean, I'm 45, and I'm doing great at 45. So
if you could rewind a decade ago and you could tell your 35-year-old self anything, what would it be?
It's gonna take some time, and that's okay. At 35, I think I was starting to feel a little worried that I wouldn't find my person. And I really cared about that an awful lot. And it's such a cliche. It's absolutely cliche, but it's true. It was not until I was really okay with myself and I was okay with the idea that I might be a person who didn't get married but had really great friends and a great life otherwise. That's when it happened. Mm-hmm. And I would have shot daggers at anybody who had said that to me at 30 years old. Mm-hmm. But it turned out to be true. So I would say don't settle. It's worth the wait. Wait until you find somebody who challenges you and is everything you ever thought you maybe didn't have coming.
That's beautiful. I wrote it down. It's going to take some time, and that's okay.
It's okay.
Talking about challenges, and then I'm taking advantage of you as an attorney because you communicate in the courtroom, and also just on a personal level. What do you find some effective communication tools could be for the average listener, maybe in a business setting or within their relationship?
Being an active listener is the first step to good communication, making sure that you are not just waiting for your turn to speak, but that you're actually listening to what the other person is saying. Listen to the kinds of questions that are being asked. Oftentimes, judges will ask their own questions that let you know what they're thinking, and you can kind of figure out where they want you to go. But I would say 90% of conversation and doing well in communication is learning how to listen.
Active listening. Thank you. All right. So as I shared with you towards the end of our segment, unless there's anything outstanding that you'd like to share, do you have any like personal wins, any team wins, or any shout outs that you want to give before we wrap her up?
No, I mean, I love the team that I have for sure. I've got,
shout
I have
out to be, the whole team.
I have to be careful about sharing too many details of the successes because it's all pretty confidential
True.
Stuff.
Yes.
But I will say that I recently did succeed in reuniting a couple of kids with a parent, and that felt really good. Mm. They were in a bad situation here, and they're now living with their father in another state, and they are thriving, and he did send me an email with pictures of how they're doing, and just comparing and contrasting what I saw last year to now was an amazing feeling. So that was a win that I can share for sure.
That's why you do what you do.
That is exactly why I do what I do. Mm. I had a client say to me this morning, actually, she said, I don't know how attorneys do it, you know, because this one thing has been stressing me out. And honestly, we do it because the rewards are great when we actually see lives improve because of what we do. There's enough stressors and there's enough bad days, but that really does make it worth it.
Mm. I can just see it now. Yeah. Now, before we do wrap up finally, I want to give you a chance to share some parting thoughts or some words of wisdom with our listeners.
One of the best bits of advice that I've gotten was from my dad's mom, who told me once that what other people think about you is none of your business. Hmm. And at the time, I thought she was chastising me and telling me not to, you know, you shouldn't worry what people think and that you're wrong for worrying what people think. She was actually giving me really good advice about if you stop worrying about it, your life gets so much easier. Hmm. If you just concentrate on staying in your lane and affecting the things that you can, that will improve your life tenfold. Hmm. If you don't waste time worrying what other people think about who you are, what you do, what you like, what you're wearing, how's your hair, what you look like. What other people think about you is none of your business. And sometimes the greatest peace you're going to get is letting people be wrong and just moving on.
Give me some Taylor Swift. Some Taylor Swift.
Some Taylor lyrics. Swift lyrics.
Speaking of which, I do have to, well, shout out to Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift doesn't pay us, but we'd love T Swift to listen. Celebrating Powerhouse Women, the invitation is always open to you, T Swift. Jennifer and I will host you. But I do just have to say, she's an incredible gal. She is an example of a powerhouse.
Oh, yeah.
There's glitter on the floor for a party. Girls carrying their shoes down in the lobby. Jennifer, thank you for having so much fun with me today.
Oh, absolutely.
You're so easy to talk to and so knowledgeable. I'd be remiss if I didn't let our listeners know how to find you if they're curious about your services.
Absolutely. You can find me online at the DeloachLawPractice.com, 770-209-2242, or shoot me an email, Jennifer@DeloachLawPractice.com. Love to hear from anybody who's facing a big life change.
Or if you're a Tom Petty fan or a Taylor Swift fan, we would also love to hear from you.
If you're Taylor Swift, we would really love to hear from you.
My name is Amanda, and I am your host of this exciting series. Celebrating Powerhouse Women is live every Friday at 11:30. You can listen wherever you enjoy your podcasts. Please subscribe. If you listen on iTunes, we'd appreciate that 5-star review. And you can always find these interviews on businessradiox.com. Until next time, this is Celebrating Powerhouse Women on Business Radio X.